Hello, everybody. What is good? This is an impromptu Facebook Live because something's about to happen at 1 o'clock, and I figured everybody's invited. It is crazy, right? Pandemic's going on, and I am one of many people all around the globe right now who are graduating from middle school, graduating from high school, graduating from college, graduating from something, and none of it is happening in person right now. And Warden here at Penn, just like everybody else, is trying to figure out some virtual way to do things. And so at 1 o'clock, there's supposed to be a virtual graduation ceremony, and I figured we could all check it out together. And also at some point, I will definitely give some shout outs and some thank yous to folks who've been on this long, windy road of unexpected ups and downs, roller coaster with a happy ending journey with me. And so definitely want to shout a lot of you out. And hello to anybody who has joined just now too. So I'm going to see if this thing works, but I'm going to pull up the site that we're all supposed to go to at 1 o'clock. And supposedly there's a ceremony from 1 to 1:30. I have no idea what they're going to do for 30 minutes virtually with all of us, but you know, we'll all get to check it out. Let me refresh the page and see what's up. Happy Sunday. What are folks up to on this Sunday, May 17th, a day that I will remember for a long, long time? Say what's up if you can. Also, let me know if the comments section thing is working on here. But I'm going to keep refreshing the page. What are you up to this Sunday? Let a brother know. And I'm gonna keep refreshing this page again and see if eventually something comes on. And I'm using StreamYard to do this. So the cool thing is, if you wanna hop on and actually say something live on camera, if you just wanna say what's up, you can do that by texting Philly to 555-888, and then it sends a link to you, and literally you press the link and pop up on your phone. You are right up in here with me, and we can talk live on air. Otherwise, just post a comment, and we can connect that way too. Through the magic of technology, hopefully this thing works. I'm on the page, pressing refresh, and so far, nothing is happening. Oh, it says watch. Let's see what happens. Is anything happening? Oh.
Hi, I'm Jeff Garrett. I'm Dean of the Wharton School, and I'm welcoming you all to this very special day. Welcome to our faculty and staff, our family and friends, parents and partners, but above all, welcome to the 2020 graduates of the Wharton School. We're living in unprecedented times. Indeed, I think they're unimaginable times. They're full of uncertainty, challenges, and anxieties. But amid all of our concerns, I think it's really important to remember two things. First, this is a great day of celebration, celebrating the massive achievement of our graduates and giving profound thanks to all the people who've made it possible, and above all, their families. But the second thing I want you to remember is that the world needs you, our graduates, not only to help us get through the crisis, but also to chart the course to a better future for us all. Many of you have heard me use the phrase more than ever Wharton. And I use it because I think it's true. I think it's true of everything about the Wharton School, and it's true about every one of you. The world needs you more than ever. You have my heartfelt congratulations for everything you've done and my deep gratitude for all you're doing and all you will do. Along with all of you, I so wish we were physically together today. There's nothing like the energy, the excitement, and above all, the love of a Wharton graduation ceremony. But today's unique. For most of you, this is your first graduation from Wharton, the world's first, and I believe the world's best. Not held in person, and I know we all hope it's the last. But this is also my last graduation as Wharton Dean, and that fills me with real sadness, but also great joy. It's been the greatest privilege of my professional career to be Dean of the school because of just what an amazing institution Wharton is. But it's also been my greatest pleasure because of all the incredible people who make up that Wharton institution, and that's not least our students. Now, neither you nor I could ever have imagined that our time at Wharton would end this way, even a few months ago. But here we are, making the best of things, making the most of everything we do. And after all, that is the Wharton way. The crisis has tested us all, not only as individuals, but also as leaders. And you're all leaders. And I'm so proud of everything you're doing to lead in these challenging times. You're leading in academic discussions, both inside and outside our now virtual classrooms. You're leading by connecting with your classmates who are scattered all around the world. And you're leading in your communities, not only at Wharton and Penn, but throughout your lives. I've been thinking a lot about what leadership means in these times, and I'm thinking about it as leading in uncertain times. And my number one reaction is to believe that we don't need any more the kind of heroic leaders who say, trust me, I know the way, follow me. And the reason that's not going to work today is that none of us knows what's actually going to happen in the future. We all need others. So I have three suggestions about leadership, and they're all about bringing out the best in others. And of course, that is the core of leadership. So suggestion one, be humble. You know, we're all smart people, and I know we work really hard, but none of us has all the answers. So I think leaders need to say that to everyone who works with and for them. I think I'm pretty smart. I know I work hard, but I don't have the answers and I need your help. Humility is a powerful human virtue. I think it's an incredibly important part of leadership. Second, be open. And by that, I don't only mean that we should be transparent and authentic, although those things are incredibly important. We don't want leaders who seem photoshopped, who focus group everything. We want open leaders. But there's a second challenge of openness in leadership right now that I would call explainer in chief. The world is a dizzyingly complex place. What we need is leaders who can unpack complexity and do so in a way that presents simple realities without being simplistic and without talking down to anybody. Explainer in chief we need, but it's really hard to achieve. My third leadership principle would be committed. And by that, I'm really thinking about the profound difference between younger generations today, Gen Z, millennials, and older people. Younger people, including all of you, our graduates, are just more mission-driven and purpose-oriented than anybody before. And you expect and demand of your leaders that we're the same way. You can't have a disconnect between leaders and the people who work with them. It's just not going to get us to where we need to go. So be humble, be open, be committed. Now, two pieces of advice for everyone thinking about us now, not just as leaders, but as human beings. The first one is just mindset. And, you know, I think I'm an optimist by nature, but I know that we can't be naive optimists. We can't bury our head in the sands or have our eyes looking to the sky. We need to be realistic in our optimism. So So optimism is a force of life. It keeps us moving, but we need to make sure that our optimism is realistic. Second thing is, you know, we think a lot about focusing on our passions and doing things for the right reasons because we want to do them, and I endorse that 100%. But I think that kind of personal focus is just more powerful and more meaningful if we think about others at the same time. And here the two big words for me are empathy and compassion. You know, make sure that you can try always to see things from another person's perspective, to walk in their shoes. That's empathy. And then compassion is saying, if you can do something to improve the lot of other people, you should do it. So I think we all should be optimists, but let's be realistic. And of course, we should focus on our passions, but let's have lots of empathy and compassion to go along with it. Now, I can tell you that right now, my primary goal is to leave the Wharton School in the best possible shape for our incoming dean, Erica James. And I want to let you know that the dean transition is in full swing. I've spent many hours one-on-one with Erica and now additional hours in team meetings with her. I know the school is in great hands with Erica James, and I also know that the world is going to need Wharton going forward. The world needs Wharton because we need two things, I think. The first one is creative thinking about extraordinary challenges, out-of-the-box thinking.
Shout out to everybody checking in. Appreciate y'all.
But we also need the core skill of a rigorous business school like Wharton, and I would call that the skill which is the discipline of turning ideas into outcomes, outcomes that are going to matter, outcomes that are going to make the world a better place. I know that's why you came to Wharton. And it's why I've enjoyed so much watching you grow and flourish in your time at the school. And it's why I can't wait to see what you're going to do now that you're leaving. So on behalf of the entire school, I want to send you hearty and sincere congratulations. Congratulations to our 2020 graduates.
Hello, I'm Diana Robertson, Samuel A. Blank Professor of Legal Studies and Business Ethics, and Vice Dean of the Wharton Undergraduate Division, and proud to be your Vice Dean. None of us imagined this kind of send-off for you.
No, we didn't.
We lost the opportunity to celebrate with you, to send you off in style. Instead, you left campus abruptly with little to no notice in preparation. You may not have had a chance to have that last coffee or last lunch or last party with your friends. Maybe you didn't even get to say goodbye to your friends. You experienced loss. You experienced disruption of everything that was normal. Normalcy was replaced by uncertainty. And no matter, we can accept this was the right decision, Penn needed to close. We understand that. But it's still a loss, and it's a painful loss for you. But we persevered, you persevered. Today we're here to celebrate. We're celebrating you. We're celebrating your accomplishments. We're celebrating with you and your friends and family and all the people who brought you to this moment, and celebrating that amazing Wharton spirit. As I listen to your story since spring break, yes, I heard the loss. I heard what you lost, but I've also been thinking and been struck by what you gained. Some of you gained precious time with your families, time that will probably never reoccur. I know your families are happy about that. Some of you gained new interests, new books, new films, new exercise programs on YouTube or whatever. Some of you mastered new video games. Some of you discovered the opportunity to contribute to your hometown communities and your Wharton community. And some of you took a moment to pause from that hectic, busy life that you've been leading and realizing that taking that moment to pause gave you the opportunity to reflect on what's really important to you. Some of you gained appreciation of yourself. As the existentialist philosopher Albert Camus expressed it so eloquently, in the depth of winter, I finally learned that there is an invincible summer. Whatever these last few weeks have meant for you, They do not and will not define your Wharton experience. Remember, you had over 3.5 years on campus. Think back to that day when you first set foot in Huntsman Hall. Who was that person? Who have you become? How have you changed? How have you developed? What new paths have you followed? And what has inspired you to follow those paths? Was it an impromptu conversation with a professor? Was it those late night discussions with your classmates who will become your lifelong friends? Was it that sense of community that you felt on Locust Walk, or that sense of the celebration of tradition at convocation or heyday, or maybe you threw toast at a Penn football game? But no matter what you experienced, when you look back on this time, reflect on what you have gained in terms of insight and how you have developed as a person. We are here to celebrate you and that person you have become. We are here to celebrate your story. Everyone has a story. You own your Wharton story, and it is a powerful one. I've listened to your stories, and I've been inspired by you. As we emerge from this global crisis, no one will be the same. You will have changed. I have faith that you will change for the better. I have faith that you will become more resilient, stronger, more thoughtful, more grateful, more purposeful, and kinder. The world evolves. You are thriving. You will thrive. You are our leaders. You are our future. Warmest congratulations to you, class of 2020. And let's all meet back on campus next year for that celebration. Thank you. And now we have a tribute video for you, the class of 2020.
Congratulations, class of 2020. We did it. The past 4 years have been absolutely incredible. So let's reminisce and take a look back with this video. We hope you enjoy it, and I'll see you in a few minutes.
From our first day in Huntsman Hall, freshman year, nervous and
new student orientation. My first day was a couple years before that.
Our first day in Management 100 lecture with our cohort. We had no idea what knowledge we would acquire in the coming weeks, let alone years at this institution.
We questioned what we thought we knew about ourselves and one another. We contributed to a culture that embraces psychological safety, mutual respect, diversity, and inclusion. We developed adaptability, grit, and principle.
Joining us from around the world, the class of 2020 represents Wharton's diversity, not only in its geographies, but in who the members of our class are. They are Ivy League champions. They are founders of companies. They are future thinkers. They are people who lend you notes and listen to you work through problems, not just in problem sets, but in all parts of your life. They are the people who have made these last 4 years, the past quarter semester included, moments that we will never forget. Through it all, this crisis showed us the importance and value of our friendships and relationships, many of which we made during our 4 years at Wharton.
I hope you've enjoyed that reflection on your years at Wharton. And now I'm very pleased to present this year's winners of the Dean's Awards. The first award is the Dean's Award for Excellence, and it goes to Ilana Fortson. Ilana's from Anchorage, Alaska. She concentrated in finance and real estate at the Wharton School, as well as a minor in Hispanic studies. She's been an incredible teaching assistant. She was a teaching assistant in the introduction to operations, information and decisions, and also real estate development. And she was the head TA for the advanced corporate finance class. Her passion is real estate. She was a member of the Wharton Undergraduate Real Estate Club and a research fellow at the Institute for Urban Research. And she created a real estate mentorship program between undergraduate and MBA students. In addition to all that, she has been a powerful force at TAMID, a student group fostering hands-on engagement with the Israeli economy. She produced the Israeli Startup Fair, the first ever TAMID Trek, and the first regional conference. Congratulations, Ilana. And now the Dean's Award for Service to Wharton, and there are two recipients. The first is Dave Joseph, who comes from Spanish Town, Jamaica. His concentrations were business analytics and social impact and responsibility. At Wharton, he was co-president of the Undergraduate Finance Club, a member of Penn First Plus, its student advisory board, and a member of the Wharton Junior Senior Advisory Board team. He was also a mentor in our fantastic STEP program, helping disadvantaged freshmen in their transition to Wharton. He's been a great supporter of the FIGLE, that is First Generation Low Income Community. He created belonging and community among FIGLE students, and he designed and implemented FIGLE Fridays, a fantastic initiative. And he's just improved resources and visibility for FIGLE at Wharton and at Penn. Congratulations, Dave. The second recipient for the Dean's Award for Service to Wharton is Tanu Bala. Tanu's hometown is Stamford, Connecticut, and as a student concentrating in our incredible dual degree program, Management and Technology, on the Wharton side with a concentration in marketing and operations and entrepreneurship, and then in engineering, a major in computer science. Tanu was heavily involved in the Wharton School in at least two ways. The first way was being a TA in Wharton 101, the gateway course that introduces all Wharton students to the 10 academic departments in the school. But second, as co-chair of the Wharton Council, the peak leadership body responsible for Wharton's myriad undergraduate student clubs. In terms of clubs, Tanu was really important in changing recruiting policies and practices at the Wharton School to make them friendlier to our first-year students, meeting with dozens of club leaders and countless first-year students to understand the challenges of the recruitment process and to try to improve them. Some of the outcomes under Tanu's leadership for the Wharton Council include a universal deadline for our clubs, as well as implementing new student programming for every club. Students are now able to do so much more, not only inside different clubs, but across the school as a whole. We want to congratulate Tanu for your leadership on all things Wharton. And now the Dean's Award for Service to Penn and the Greater Philadelphia Community, and the recipient is Karina Shah. Karina comes from New York, New York, and she concentrated in finance and strategic management at the Wharton School, as well as acquiring a political science minor. At Wharton, she was a Wharton Research Scholar, a student fellow at Perry Worldhouse, a teaching assistant in finance, and an executive board member in the Wharton China Association. She's also a recipient of the prestigious Schwarzman Scholarship to study at Tsinghua University in Beijing. Her contributions in the community, however, have been immense. She founded the Ballard Z Project, an innovative voter education curriculum to 8 local high schools in the Philadelphia area. The goal of the program was to inspire and empower civic engagement among disadvantaged youth, incredibly important. She also worked with the Netter Center at Penn to create a new academically based community service course for all Penn students. Hearty congratulations, Karina, to you. And finally, the Dean's Award for Innovation, which goes to Ishar Seth. Ishar's hometown is Fort Worth, Texas. Ishar is a dual degree student at Wharton, studying our life science management program on the Wharton side with a focus on finance, and then in arts and sciences with a focus in molecular biology. Ishar has done incredible work in the health sciences as a research assistant in the Smilo Center for Translational Research and Ped Medicine, as president of the Penn Undergraduate Biotech Society, and is a senior consultant at Penn in the International Impact Consulting Club. A really specific contribution, though, that Ishar has made in the world of innovation is to found a company that has reinvented the catheter. Catheters are responsible for over 45,000 deaths each year due to bacterial infection and buildup. What Ishar did was to commercialize the IP of a Penn biology professor in a way that could change the world of catheterization. And for that, Ishar won the 2019 Penn Y Prize. Congratulations, Ishar.
Now it is my pleasure to introduce Kareem Al-Swidi, the Class of 2020 student speaker. Kareem is from Cairo, Egypt. He concentrated in marketing and operations management and entrepreneurial management and systems engineering in the School of Engineering. He's also the 2020 class president. Welcome, Kareem.
Shout out to Kathy in the Parkway.
Thank you, Vice Dean Robertson. Dear members of the Wharton Class of 2020, something big is coming, and it will be more impactful, more transformative, and more beautiful than anything you or I have ever seen before. I'd like to call this our Renaissance period. In spirit and in reality, the original European rebirth was a time much like today. No TikTok, but a group of newly minted scholars and an expanded sense of possibility. You see, in this time, our entire worlds have been flipped upside down. Every single thing we know has been broken down in one way or another. Our political systems, our economy, our culture, our values, ourselves. And all of it will be rebuilt and reinvented from the ground up. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know who. You, us, we, the Wharton Class of 2020, have the blessing of being the Da Vincis and Galileos of this Renaissance. The world will become a harvesting ground for ideas, just waiting for us to break through to those innovations. I've realized that the values we've learned at Wharton have prepared us for this journey to come. I've summed them up and, of course, put together an acronym. I mean, I am a marketing concentration after all, and besides the four P's and five C's,
I love a good acronym.
What have I learned, really? This acronym is one ingrained in all of us by now. GSR. GSR. First, G is to give. Beyond giving our professors a hard time, Wharton students have learned to give back generously and selflessly. From staying up all night to help friends and strangers with interviews, to mentoring younger students at Penn and Philly. From here on out, may you give more and more, because even if your banking job doesn't convey it to you, your time is valuable. And I guarantee you now more than ever, people in this world need it. So give your time wholeheartedly and give it purposefully. Second, S is to struggle. As Wharton students, through our success came many more struggles. Looking past the all-nighters in Huntsman, and of course not past 2 a.m. anymore. With the right perspective, struggling should be viewed as an opportunity to develop grit and build character. All too often, we seek safety over the incomparable learning that comes from failure. This is the time to take risks and climb mountains. What's to come is unknown to me and to you, but the struggle is inevitable. So embrace it and learn from it. And finally, R is to reflect. As the world around us rapidly evolves, the best thing we can do is be thoughtful about the future and reflect. Whether it's by journaling or simply scrolling through Snapchat memories, we've all reflected in one way or another. I challenge you to take it a step further, dig deep, and be vulnerable with yourself and your loved ones about who you are, how you've grown, and where you hope life will take you. To be introspective about what you do and do not like about your world and be able to make a change is a privilege, so use it. Regardless of whether you were a GSR or a QSR kind of person, it's time for all of us to get kicked out and personify GSR. Tomorrow we begin creating, but today we focus on celebrating. Congratulations, Class of 2020. On your marks, get set,
go
Renaissance.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
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 Congratulations, class of 2020.
You did it. You made it.
It's been a privilege to work with you over the years and see all of your accomplishments.
I so wish we could be celebrating in person. You all deserve so much more.
And remember, this is not a goodbye. This is, I'll see you soon.
And a special shout out to the seniors of Wharton STEM.
Warmest congratulations from all of us in the Wharton Undergraduate Division, also known as G95.
You do great.
Congratulations, class of 2020.
Once again, warmest congratulations, Wharton class of 2020. Now it is my pleasure to introduce today's final speaker, Sam Lundquist, who is the Vice Dean for External Affairs.
Congratulations, Wharton class of 2020. I'm Sam Lundquist, Vice Dean of External Affairs at the Wharton School. Today is the first day of the rest of your life as a Wharton alumni. And the External Affairs team works hard to keep you connected to the school. We do it by keeping the global Wharton network alive and strong for you. It's 100,000 alumni in 153 different countries around the world, and we have 76 alumni clubs ready to serve you no matter where you go after graduation. This is why you chose Wharton. The alumni community is more important than ever before, so please engage. The Wharton brand is now part of your personal brand, so use it well. Congratulations, and see you in Philadelphia as soon as possible.
Shout out to Philly. Definitely not the way I thought that the graduation weekend would go, but it's cool to at least have this moment with each other and do it virtually. The good news is I heard that there'll be an in-person ceremony May 22nd, 2021. So I guess that means we just get to celebrate for an entire year until we get to do it together in person. I'm not gonna stay on here too long. I want to say a couple quick shout outs though before I get on out of here. And if you do want to join while I'm here, just literally if you text Philly to the number on here, it'll give you a link and you can pop on this camera right here with me. But I want to say a couple thank yous. First, a big thank you to these two people right here. Can you see them? Can you see them? Can you see them? Henry and Hallie Neesmith, my parents, my angels, love them so much. And I look forward to us celebrating this moment together in person. But in the meantime, all the phone calls, all the thank yous, and I love y'all. And so this day is special to me, but I know it's special to us. And I love you. And shout out to all my fam. My church is on the Facebook Live right now too, but shout out to all the fam that's been on this journey and all the love. And then if I rewind back to 1993, when I hopped on the scene here at this campus, shout out to the folks who've been on this journey since day one, like Extra P, aka Paul Wiley, Love you, brother. Big entertainer, Jeff, Nissa. There's a whole host of other folks, but those are some of the folks that I spent a lot of time with during my time here in the first go around. And then when I bounced, folks like Oba and his dad keeping me sane, showing me love and showing me around New York City. Appreciate y'all. Shout out to Kathy Blunt, who's on the Facebook Live right now. And I got to give it a shout out to her because before I got to Penn, I was at Parkway. And a lot of love there, a lot of learning there. And so this journey includes Parkway to Penn to New York, back again. And I'm grateful to call Philly home and to call Parkway the school I went to high school at. Shout out to the Hoyas, Parkway in the building. If I think about just my return, man, Scott Ramika, Lisa at the Warden Academic Advising folks, as you can imagine, the process to come back and return takes a lot of applications, committees, people looking at stuff, looking at that, should it come back, should it not, all that stuff. And they were on my side behind the scenes this entire way. So shout out to all the Warden Academic Advisors, but specifically Scott and Lisa. And speaking of advising, I didn't do this much my first time around. I had a, you know, bit stubborn, a little bit of ego, and I didn't really take a lot of tutoring on back in the day. But yo, when I came back this time, I was all up in the tutoring center. And so shout out to my tutors who helped me along the way. I'll never forget the example because I love sports. And they talk about folks like Michael Jordan. Shout out to The Last Dance, which a lot of you tune into every Sunday. But some of the best at what they do in sports get coaching and tutoring all the time. And they're professionals. They're like the best in the world, and they're still getting tutoring and help. And so I learned this go around, it's good to get tutoring and help. And so shout out to all my tutors on my return. Shout out to the class of 97, to the class of 98. I feel like I'm a part of y'all. And of course, shout out to the class of 2020, not just here at Penn, but all the colleges around, all the high schools. A couple other things before I get out of here. What else? My experiences since I've been back. If you just watched this graduation ceremony for the Warden School of the University of Pennsylvania, you saw they gave out some awards at the end. And on this twisting journey I've been on academically, I'll be honest, I never quite thought I'd ever say I was an award-winning scholar. But I can now. Shout out to the McCoo Center. Shout out to Brian Peterson and his whole team. I won the Anna Julia Cooper Award for Persistence in Degree Completion. She was a dynamic sister. Born in the late 1800s, an educator, an activist, a womanist. And the cool thing about her story is, along with all the stuff she just did for the movement, was she got her PhD, and I think she was maybe one of the first Black women in the U.S. to get a PhD, maybe like fourth or fifth. But she got it at 67 years old. 67. And so I'm not that old, but I can appreciate that saying that it's never too late, and it's not. So shout out to the McCoo Center here at Penn for making me an award-winning student. Hey, appreciate you. And shout out to all the ancestors and to Anna Julia Cooper. Also, on my return here, I got to be a part of the Penn Warden Entrepreneurship Department. I applied my venture underdog stuff and got accepted into that. So now I'm part of that incubator and community. And it's cool because it's folks of all different ages. It's both alums, MBAs, grad students, undergrad, who are all interested in entrepreneurship and turning their venture into a business. And so that helped give me a community to be a part of, along with the folks I was in classes with and stuff like that. So shout out to the Penn Warden Entrepreneurship team. Appreciate y'all. And then another experience my way back was Bridges to Wealth. Man, so many memories with Bridges to Wealth, who's out here trying to close the wealth gap here in Philly. and aligned with just my own personal interest in helping underdogs out here rediscover our special stuff by investing our well-being and wealth. But I'll tell you a quick Bridges to Wealth story. I was going in back in August of last year to interview for a position to be an entrepreneurship mentor for area public high school students to help them with learning about financial literacy, entrepreneurship, and college prep stuff. And I remember meeting Jill, who's the director of the program, had an interview. I thought it went well. I'm walking out the building after the interview, and I'm literally tearing up, like about to cry as I'm walking out this public building on campus. And I'm like, yo, let me chill out. Let me not start crying in front of this building, because it just would have been like awkward in the middle of the day. Why is this guy crying? And I call my mom. I'm like, Mom, I don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. And this is August of last year. So I came back to Philly in January of 2019. It's now fast forward August 2019. I've been living in New York for the past 20 years of my life. I'm like, yo, I'm gonna come back to Penn, get this degree, chop it up, flip it, get this thing, and then I'm bouncing back to the NYC to Big Apple. So August, I have this interview. I'm walking out the building, feeling a little emotional, not sure why. I call my mom, I'm like, yo, I don't wanna be in prison in a moment. But I was like, Mom, I think I'm staying in Philly. I think I'm gonna stay. And why did I think that after literally meeting the director of Bridges to Wealth for like, half an hour, whatever the interview was, and hadn't even started the job yet? Why did I think that? Because in that moment, which I now know, I didn't really know in that moment, is that I felt like I was in the place where I was supposed to be. And that if I could be back in the city I grew up in and do stuff like work with folks in this community, folks who are going through the public school system that I went through, and do stuff around my overall purpose, which is, rediscovering our special stuff, resetting our well-being and wealth, I'm like, yeah, I'm sure I could do that in New York too, but it just hits different when you do it in your hometown. And so in that moment, I knew that I was at home and at peace, and that I was back in the city of brotherly love to stay. So shout out to Bridges to Wealth, which I don't even think they know this story about how it was maybe a tipping point or aha moment for me. And so I'm gonna keep on keeping on. People ask me like, well, what are you gonna do when you're done school? Man, I'm gonna do what I've been doing, underdog stuff, helping first-time investors and entrepreneurs invest in their communities, community, culture, and capital. And I'm gonna continue working with the Bridges of Wealth team as we out here trying to work to close the wealth gap. We keep doing what we do. I'm just happy for this personal moment to check something off my bucket list. And let go of some stories I had about that Gregory who was 17 years old, who wasn't quite sure he could make it here. And now I know that wasn't true. I could always make it here. And I have. Also, shout out to all the folks who've been commenting today. I'm going to put those up on the screen. Shout out to Asha Davis, my people. Yo, we started the Underdog Stuff podcast and radio show together up in Harlem. She is good people, one of the most talented people I know. Ad exec, stand-up comedian, writer, and just overall good people. And so I appreciate Asha for going on this journey with me. One of my favorite people from my time in the NYC. Shout out to Yende Stewart. A tough brother to guard when you're playing basketball from my days back at Penn, and someone who has reached out and been just a common force as he's always been, and someone who just always encouraged me, and part of a crew of folks like Yende, Jeff, Paul, Oba, Delvey, just good people and a good brother. So I appreciate you, man. Kim Wood in the building. DC, stand up. Kim, hey, I appreciate you. Thank you. I'm excited, man. It feels good. Tony the Tiger. Tony, another fellow entrepreneur. She's out here doing her thing, taking her background in judo and Olympic experiences and helping kids with their mind, body, and their soul. And out here, like a lot of entrepreneurs, taking their out in the world businesses and bring them online. And hey, I appreciate you, Tony, with the shout out. Also, shout out to the fam. Patricia. Shout out to my cousin Monique, who's made being back in Philly feel like home. It's always good to have some of your close relatives near you, where sometimes you just want to be around folks where you could just sit and be, feel the love, and you've known them, they've known you for years. And it doesn't hurt that she can throw down in the kitchen too. Shout out to all my fam. Neesmith in the building, stand up, South Carolina. Miss Catherine, hey. So I was talking about the award I won from the Maku Center. Shout out to Catherine, who is herself a PhD, a sister, an activist, a womanist, out here doing her thing. And so I appreciate her love and her support along the journey too. She's also a professor. So shout out to all the Black women professors out here, because representation matters, right? It's cool when you can be in a classroom and see somebody that looks like you. Or if you're a brother, see somebody in the classroom who looks like your mother or your sister or your aunt. So shout out to Catherine for doing her thing. Hey, Catherine Blunt, man, fearless leader, was the head of Parkway when I went there back in the day. And just now as I get older, what I appreciate her is her fight. And you want to talk about, you know, there's the words activists, community organizers, advocates. Those aren't just labels. That's who she is. And I appreciate her fighting for folks like me and other Philly kids out here as we try to grow up and come up. Hey, shout out to Catherine. Thank you. I'm happy too. This is wild. And I see Kathy says, they raise you well. Hey, these are the real, what did Kevin Durant say? Y'all the real MVP? These two are the real MVP right here. They are. Not me. These two. Not me. These two are the real MVPs. Love them. And shout out to Michelle. Hey, I appreciate the shout out. Man, it's been a long journey, right? But today came. And the cool thing is, there's going to be an in-person ceremony like a year from now. So we're going to celebrate again. One more again. Yeah, embracing the emotions. Yes, sir. Hey, Chrissy, what's going on? I appreciate the shout out very much. Hey, Kathy, love you too. And shout out to all the folks with the texts, the phone calls, the Zooms and stuff over the past couple of days. I appreciate that. So I'm going to wrap this up soon. Like I said, Underdog stuff's going to keep on popping. You're going to be out here figuring out how first time savers become first time investors and entrepreneurs too in their community. Really on a mission to figure out how we can together reset our well-being and wealth. I think it's possible. I don't think reparations are coming. I don't think help is on the way. I want it to be, but if not, we get to do it together and help each other figure it out. Also, I'm going to continue to do stuff with Bridges to Wealth. You know, I can get with anybody who's out here trying to close the wealth gap, and especially trying to reach our youth with entrepreneurship, financial literacy, and education-related things. I might do a podcast here and there called the Mixtape Series, because it's not quite an album. It's like a mixtape, you know, put some content out on the street. I do have an interview coming up with some good brothers, Steve and Rick, who are the founders of All In Media, and they're out here doing just good work. And whenever I can unpack the journey of folks navigating community, culture, and capital, I'm going to do it here and there. So there'll be some pop-up content. And so next Sunday, I get to sit down with those two brothers who are here in Philly, making stuff happen. They all in on Philly, All In Media Company. Shout out to Steve and Rick. We'll be talking soon on the Underdog Stuff mixtape. It's not quite an album. It's a mixtape. A couple tracks here and there of people talking about unpacking the journey of navigating community, culture, and capital, especially for first-time entrepreneurs and investors who want to make stuff happen in their community. Yeah, I think I'm going to wrap up soon and just kind of sit with it all. A couple quotes that come to mind right now. If you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. It's an African proverb. Thank you for going together with me. So with that, I'm gonna get on up out of here. I'm gonna show these comments one more time and then leave you with my favorite quote. Pop these on up here. I hope everybody's having a good Sunday. No matter how you're dealing with this whole global pandemic, I know you're dealing with it the best way you can. And the goal is for us to get through it. And we will. And I know staying connected and support one another are two of the ways we can do it. And I'm gonna flash these comments up here one more again. And then I'm gonna try to get out of here without crying. But I don't think that's gonna happen. Thank you. This has been in the making for a long, long time. So with that, I'm gonna leave you with my favorite quote, and then I'm gonna play an edited version of the Don't Rush challenge that I did the other day. But because we're doing Facebook Live and all the copyright things, I don't want us to get kicked off. But I have a different instrumental in the background, but you'll get to see me having a little fun. Do a little Don't Rush challenge celebrating graduation weekend. So with that, I'm gonna leave y'all with my favorite quote. Underdogs can't nobody do it. And I mean nobody. Can't nobody do it like you do it. Nobody. Peace. Appreciate y'all. I'm out. One.